The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Welcome to Exploring the Word. We hope you'll get your Bibles and join us in the book of 1 Peter. You'll be blessed. I just went over it afresh and anew today. And again, just being blessed by reading it and then blessed more by studying it. This is Bert Harper along with Dr. Alex McFarland, and it's our treat to be with you each day, Monday through Friday at this time, as we study the Word of God. At this time, we're studying the thread of redemption through the Bible. And we've gone through every book up to 1 Peter, and now we're here. And Alex, again, Peter would write this. And when you read it, he starts off, it sounds like it's just going to be to maybe the Jewish people, but when you start reading it and talk about the things that came out of darkness and out of religion that was, you know, it sounds like Peter was writing it to Christians anywhere that would have persecution.
I know. Well, not only persecution, but would battle false doctrine and needed to stand strong in the faith and defend the faith. So I've got a question.
I got to stop. You would notice that, would you not?
Exactly.
Go ahead. I hated to interrupt you, but I just had to get that one in. Yes, you would. One of your verses is in this book, isn't it? Something about it?
My book, Stand, Core Truth for an Unshakable Faith. But I got to ask you this, and I'm always bad to quote from the end of the book at the beginning, because, you know, I like to look at the big picture. So here's my question. Babylon.
All me.
In 1 Peter 5:13, he talks about the church at Babylon. Was Peter referencing, you know, the city of Babylon, or was he, as some theorize, maybe talking about Rome?
Well, I don't know where you are, so you asked me open-end. I still think he's talking about Rome. There's a lot of evidence of him being in Rome. There's not evidence in the Book of Acts or other places where he would really been in Babylon. So my speculation, it is Rome.
Yeah. And, you know, I lean that way. That's one of those things that we don't know definitively for sure. I mean, there was a large Jewish population in Babylon, and so it's applicable. I mean, Rome was known for a lot of things, politics, religion, very culturally influential. Babylon was known for false religion, although Rome had that too. But at any rate, there is the pure gospel that is relevant in every culture. It's important in every generation. And that's why, you know, I've always loved 1 Peter. And let me just say this too, and I know you and I have recorded about the life of Peter and taught on Peter. I like Peter for a lot of reasons. When Jesus called him, he was a fisherman. And he is known to have, you know, spoken his mind. And that can be good, because this very same Peter is the one who in Matthew chapter 16 proclaimed, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," which is true. But by the time we get to 1 and 2 Peter, Bert, I mean, this guy has become a theologian.
I mean, amazing. Yes, I think it does show you how far God can take a man when a man is willing to travel that road.
That's right.
And I find one more thing. You was talking about reading the back of the book of 1 Peter. Let me give you some teaching hints, those that are doing. It is good, especially in all the epistles, it's good to read the first part of the book and the latter part of the book first. And because what you do reading the first part, you usually get a little bit who it's from and who it's to. And then when you get to the back of the book, you get the benediction, you get some names there and even some locations, and it helps you to identify where this was in history, who was with him, who had left him. So it's not a bad practice to do what you just did when you're studying the epistles. Now, it's not necessarily the thing to do when you're reading the rest of the books of the Bible, but when you're studying the epistles, Alex, that's not a bad format, brother.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, fact, even as we speak, I'm working on some notes for a class I'm going to be teaching this fall on how to study the Bible. And, you know, you look for practical application. And 1st and 2nd Peter is full of great doctrinal truth. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and defend the faith and that. But what touches my heart, Bert, is how there is the personal practical application. You know, it begins about reminding us that we have this inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. And then in verse 7 of chapter 1, the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ.
Alex, let's stop there just a minute. When you read that verses 6 and 7, various trials, the word various means multicolored. In other words, they're dark. Some of them are dark. Some of them are gray. The trials are at different levels. And then verse 7, it's like taking gold to an assayer and getting that gold looked at and judged to see of what quality it is. So here, that's who's the testing for? It's not for God, because God already knows where we are. He looks at the heart. So this testing is to reveal to us, like when you take the gold, the testing is so it will reveal what you have. Do you have something that's worth quite a bit, or is it fool's gold? And here it is precious, and it helps us to know what we have. And I love that part of the book of 1 Peter.
Well, I do too. And think about this. Okay, the fact that we're forgiven in Jesus and our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life and we have a home in heaven, that is precious, priceless. That's wonderful. And of course it is. Now, even faithful Christians are tried. I mean, there are things we go through, innumerable things. And Bert, about a year and a half ago here at North Greenville University, we had Johnny Erickson Tata. And Johnny, J-O-N-I, everybody knows her around the world. You know, she's been a dynamic witness for the gospel for many decades, and she has been in Billy Graham crusades, and they made a movie about her life. Well, she's a paraplegic. She's in a wheelchair, and her dear husband, Ken Tata, looks after her. So she spoke, and she told an audience of 2,800 people here how she thanked God for her paralysis.
Right.
And, you know, you might think, wow, I mean, when she was a young person, through an accident, she was paralyzed, and you would thank God for that. But look at verse 7 of 1 Peter 1. The trial of your faith, being more precious than of gold that perishes. So here's my point, Bert, and I want your response. We know our faith in Jesus is more precious than gold that perishes, but could it be for the Christian, the one who's willing to look at life through God's lenses, that even our trials are more precious than gold?
Amen. Well, I've know this. I've found out more about who Jesus is in the most difficult times of my life. That's when I'm closest to him. And I draw to him, he draws near to me. And during those times, I have found him to be faithful, strong, and yes, they are precious. Are they difficult? Yes. Do I want to go through the event again? No, I don't. But I want to tell you, I wouldn't trade what I've experienced, what I gained in those times in my life. They're beyond question gold. Yes. Yeah. And if
because they make us who we are.
They are. And what's happened because of that gain in this journey, you're able to help others along the way. That's the neat part. You remember that scripture? It says we comfort those with the same comfort that we've been comforted with. And that's the whole aspect of what God does in our life. He wastes nothing.
Right.
And even if I'm the cause of the difficulty, if I am to blame and it's 100% my fault, and it has been, God even uses that in Bert Harper's life that I might become conformed to him and also that I might help others. And that's what 1 Peter is talking about. And Peter uses himself. You were talking about the journey, and he had become a theologian. a lot of it was through the school of hard knocks.
Yes.
He knew what it was. Very true. It was. And so don't waste those things in your life. If you're listening today, I understand the desire to complain. Been there, done that, wasted the complaints. But I going to God, He really delivers, because it says, verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
Mm-hmm.
That's, listen, we're going to be with Christ one day. And I don't know when all this will make sense, Alex, the different things in my life. But I know when I stand before Him, He will bring it all together. Right now, it looks like a jigsaw puzzle. It looks like underneath a patchwork quilt that it, you know, I can't see the design. But God, looking from above, sees that patchwork quilt from above, and it makes perfect sense in its design. But when we see it, we have to see it through faith, don't we?
We really do. We really do. And I love getting to verses 18, well, 14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. So we're to be like obedient children to God, not letting the former desires and temptations, the flesh, control us. I love this, and this is what makes Peter so great. It's because good, rock-solid truth is coupled with life-changing, practical application.
Yes, it is.
For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition for your fathers. In other words, the previous way of life and false beliefs that just it was what you, you know, were born into perhaps. But you were redeemed, verse 19, with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Okay, there's a lot in here, but we know, we rejoice that what we have in Jesus, who He is, what He did, and what we have in Christ, it won't rust away. No thief can break in and steal it. 100 stock market crashes won't take it away.
Amen.
And even if we stumble and sin, and momentarily the flesh is in the driver's seat, look, we can repent to God, confess it, He forgives us. And like you said, you know, back to verse 7, if we let Him, all the trials and even the mistakes, He can weave that into the tapestry for His glory and for our good.
And that's exactly what it says in verse 21, who through Him, believing God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Our faith and hope is in Christ Jesus, and God's giving glory. You know what I'm looking for here in the New King James Version, and I don't know exactly. I'm looking for repeated words. Look at the word conduct in verse 15. You see it again in verse 17 and again in verse 18.
Right.
Peter is writing this so they'll know how to conduct themselves. And you mentioned it, yes, under persecution, but also false doctrine. Conduct yourself. In other words, your lifestyle speaks louder than anything, Alex.
Mm-hmm.
The way I live my life, the way a person lives their life is profound in a world gone mad. What an opportunity do we have right now. Isn't that right?
That's absolutely true.
You're listening?
Go ahead. That music.
That means it's close to the end, and we'll be back here with more of Exploring the Word as you're looking at the book of 1 Peter. And you keep on listening and join us for the second segment just in 2 minutes, 3 minutes.
So what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, You don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either. And that is a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23. Now available in Montana. 855-PSALM-23.
There's no mystery in a mystery if you already know the ending. Dr. Tony Evans says that's bad news if you're reading a novel, but a ray of hope for struggling believers. He'll explain why as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Any of you like pro wrestling? Let me explain something. It's fake. They have already decided who the winner is going to be. It's been pre-scripted. They even pay if you bleed because you made it look more real. So they have scripted this thing. But even if you're being defeated, even if you're being thrown down, even if you're being abused, if it has already been predestined that when this thing is over, you're going to be more than a conqueror, that thing is going to turn around in some way, somehow. I know the devil's been slamming you. I know circumstances have been beating you. I know it looks like the evil one is controlling you, but Jesus Christ on the cross has already prescripted that you are a winner. He's already prescripted that by relationship to him, you're overcomer. He's already prescripted that Satan has no longer any control over you. He's already prescripted that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I know you're being thrown down. I know you're being beaten up, but you can now look at it and declare, I am an overcomer, and I'm coming back at you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Learn to experience the victory God intended for you. Check out Tony's CD series, The Jesus Challenge, available online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
AFR Talk.
Amen. Welcome back. I love that music, and I hope you enjoyed as well. Alex, I want to ask you a question you asked me to start off the segment, this one. Do you know what happened 73 years ago today? Are you?
73
June the
years
6th.
Ago
yeah, June the 6th, 1944.
Oh, was it? Tell me.
D-Day.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
I was going to say D-Day, yes.
It was that great day, and I just 73 years ago, not a lot of the people who, those men that raided that beach and swarmed that beach and Omaha Beach, Utah Beach, are still living. Few are. But we owe so much to
that generation.
We
really do.
And
do
I just wanted to give a shout-out to praise God for leaders that prayed. FDR would pray before they did that. General Eisenhower, the speech that he gave to the leaders before they went out. And it's just... It made me think of our motto, In God We Trust.
Exactly.
And I asked Brian, I said, Brian, I didn't do this on purpose. I just had it written down to recognize June the 6th, 1944. And then I thought, man, it's a perfect day to order In God We Trust bracelets. And I asked him if it was too commercial. I said, no, bro, that's great. So I think it'd be a great day for you to go to afa.net/trustgod. And you get a free band, a wristband, In God We Trust, beautiful red, white, and blue. And then you can order more and wear them and share them with others. But anyway, hit me. What a good day to do that.
You know, I should have thought about that. My dad, Neil McFarland, he's with the Lord now. He was a devout Christian, but he was in the invasion of Normandy.
Wow.
And of the 160,000 Americans that were there at Omaha Beach. I mean, he was one of them, but you're right, 1944. And so how we thank God for our veterans. Freedom is free, but preserving freedom, there's a very high cost that goes with it. And so a lot of people have invested. And so we honor our veterans, and you're right, the the In God We Trust bracelets. I had one out this morning showing somebody, and they're a good thing. Again, the website, if you want to get one of those or more to give out, and as July 4th gets here, great patriotic red, white, and blue thing, go to afa.net/trustingod.
Amen. Well, I know you had a shout-out you wanted to give to someone as well.
Well, yeah. Hey, Randy Barker in Arkansas has been listening to us since day one of Exploring the Word, which is going on, you know, 7 years plus, I suppose. And so, Randy, we sent you a book out, just a little thank you gift for listening. And if you're with us today, and I know you probably are, Randy Barker and all of the great listeners around America who are following with us as we go through the Word of God, we love you. We thank God for each and every one of you.
Amen. It wouldn't be much of a program without listeners, Alex. You know,
it's
sort of like preaching in a congregation. I've preached to some churches that were close to empty, but I've never seen an empty pew respond. So I, you know, anyway, that's
it's
preacher
hard to
talk.
Preach. Yeah. I've said that it's hard to preach to a lumberyard.
It is. Hey, let's get back into 1 Peter chapter 2, and I want to read this verse. We're looking at redemption, the thread of redemption, and it's not only what Jesus did, but it's also what Jesus has done for us. When you look at redemption, you're looking at what Christ did, but you're also looking at the result of what Christ has done. And I want to read verse 9 and 10 and get ready just to shout, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Alex, I would say that is complete redemption, brother.
Well, absolutely, absolutely. So much to say here. The mercy that we've got in Jesus and how good He has been to us. You know what? I'm scanning here what verses that we can allude to and what ones not to.
Yeah, hard to leave them out, isn't it?
I know. And, you know, very famously it talks about Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. This is chapter 2, verse 22. He who knew no sin. Now, you know, very famously, 1 Corinthians 5:21 says, "He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us." Peter uses those same type of words. "Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to Him who judges righteously." See, oftentimes if somebody rubs us the wrong way, we just want to bite back, and you know, we want to, you know, just answer, you know, an injustice with something harsh. Jesus, who was pure, if anybody had the grounds that they could have pulled rank on somebody and, you know, defended themselves or been indignant, it would have been Christ. But Peter is saying here, he did no sin, and there was no guile in him. And when he was reviled, criticized, he didn't bite back. And he didn't threaten. And he allowed his fate to be in the hands of the one who judges righteously, the Father. And we can do that too.
And again, we see, I'm just noticing, it's just like my eyes go to them, repeated words or phrases. When you read verses 18 through 25, you'll hear about suffering. You just see suffering, Jesus suffering. And we along, we suffer with Him. In verse 20, it talks about that. In verse 21, you've read it. It says, "Because Christ also suffered," and listen to that, "for us." Alex,
right. It was purposeful.
It was. He went to the cross knowing what He was doing. He wasn't drugged there. He went there because He gave Himself a ransom. He did that Himself. And so I praise the Lord for His suffering. And it makes me think of that scripture. Is it in Philippians that we know about the power of His resurrection, but also the fellowship of His suffering?
Mm-hmm.
We as believers, man, we want that power of His resurrection. We talk about it all the time, the didymos, the power and
right.
authority. But what about the fellowship of His suffering?
Yeah.
We kind of stay away from that if we can, don't we?
We do. Hey, a lot of y'all know I'm a car nut. I mean, I love, if there's an old car show or something, I love cars, engines, anything vaguely metallic, okay? And one thing about motors, they I've studied engines a lot, and there's what they call thermal efficiency. And even as great as, you know, an engine might be, a lot of what goes out your exhaust pipe is unburned fuel. And even the best, Bert, even the best engines have about 20% thermal efficiency. A lot is wasted. Now, the car runs and gets you down the road, but even in the best of scenarios, a lot is wasted. I want to talk about spiritual efficiency. In Jesus, nothing is wasted. Amen. Nothing is wasted. Okay, when he bare our sins on the tree, this is 1 Peter 2:24, he was threatened and beaten and mistreated, but he did not bite back. And it talks in verse 25, for you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned to the shepherd, the bishop of your souls. By the way, that's one of the titles for Jesus. Amen. That is pretty rare, the bishop of your souls. Now, here's the thing. And we say, okay, we get it. He died for the sins of the world. In Christ, everything was perfected. But what about me? You know, I've lived for the Lord. Bert, I've counseled with families. They'll say, we don't understand it. We're a good church-going family, and this happened or that happened. We have complete assurance, even though we go through tough times. God, like you said, he doesn't waste anything, because down here, we can learn more about the faithfulness of God. We can learn patience. We can learn how to pray with much more fervor and power. We, if we will process our pain from God's perspective, we'll be rewarded in heaven. We're an influence to a watching world. We can set forth a good testimony. Isn't it good that there is 100%, if I can use the word, efficiency in all of our walk for Jesus?
Amen, brother. And that is a great illustrative point that God wastes nothing. Although we as human beings, we do motors, energy, everything. But no, have you heard of someone that's like an athlete, and they'll talk about them in their running, especially the Olympics, and talk about the swimmer or the runner, and they say there's no wasted motion. And right, those right. that are able to garner the strength and I would say the coordination to get it all working together, no wasted motion. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives as we run the race that God has set before us, not have a lot of wasted motion and lay aside every weight that would hinder us, the sin and those things. And so Peter's really talking about that because he's talking about living in a fallen world. Chapter 3 deals with relationships and how they work, and how they work with Christ. And he comes to, and I've just got to do it. I'm going to read it and let you say a word about it, verses 15 and 16. So hold on now. Let me get through before you start in, Alex. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. Now, I want you to talk about that. It's in between, but I want to say a word about the sanctification and then the latter part, the conduct. There's that word again. It's first, you set apart Jesus as Lord of your life. That's the whole idea, that sanctification. He is set on the throne. He is set as Lord of your life. And when you do that first and then get ready for a verbal answer. And then in verse 16, when there's not enough for you to have a verbal answer for some people because they just won't believe your words, let your conduct be so real that you are standing on what you have believed and your life demonstrates what you believe. So here in verses 15 and 16, here we have the bookends of a life lived for God, and in the middle is be ready to give an answer of that for your life. I when you see it that way, Alex, I really people think they should take it as a blessing and a challenge at the same time.
Amen. I mean, that is so good. I mean, you did that so well. 1 Peter 3:15, very famous verse about apologetics, being ready to give an answer to everyone who asks a reason to defend the faith. You know, the word reason there is from the Greek word for logos, from which we get the word logical. I mean, really. And when we talk about giving an answer and a reason, basically we're saying that, look, this faith is true. I mean, the message that we've got is not just opinion or just, you know, wishful thinking, and certainly not a myth or a fable or anything. This is reality. But you all need to know, and some of you listening are not yet believers. I know I get emails and it thrills us. Listen, if you're not a Christian yet, but you're listening to the show, we're humbled and honored. And maybe you're sort of kicking the tires and you're saying, is this God thing, is it really real? Look, we believe it, absolutely. But it's true whether Alex or Bert believed it or not. And 1 Peter 3:15 says, be ready to explain that this is an objectively, factually, historically true message. Yes, the Son of God, miracles, prophecies. He was proven to be who he claimed, the Messiah. And he was crucified at Passover. He rose from the dead. That empty tomb, that bodily resurrection proves that Jesus is the Savior. And Bert, I love the mixture of, yes, it's faith, it's trust, it stirs our heart, it touches our emotions, but it fills our mind. And it's both emotional, but it's also cognitive and Amen. Historical and reality, isn't it?
It is total salvation. That's what you need to know. Body, soul, and spirit. Yes, I've been born again. My spirit has been renewed, born again. Soulishly, I'm growing. I'm being sanctified in Christ. And one of these days, my body, I'm going to have a new body in heaven. This old, you know, it's going to be a new body like unto his. It is total salvation. It's not partial. If you're thinking you're missing out on anything, you ought to come to Christ. He gives it all. And if you're not getting it, it's because we are not living it, and he does it. I've got to get to verse 18 as well. Then you go anywhere you need to for Christ, because this is the redemption, isn't it? For Christ,
well, it is.
For Christ also suffered once for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. Verse 18. We talk about John 3:16 being the gospel in a nutshell. I think. Mm-hmm. 1 Peter 3:18 would qualify that as well.
For Christ also hath once suffered for sins. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed to man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Okay, Christ once suffered for our sins. He who is infinitely righteous could lay down his life for the sins of the whole world, and he did that, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God.
Alex, let me stop there. Isn't that important? Man. He brings us. We do not achieve this on our own. He ushers us in. And I'm here standing up and I'm getting excited about it. Brent's thinking, what's he going to do, jump over this? But he brings us. You know, isn't that a beautiful picture? It reminded me of over in the book of Genesis that God, after he had made woman, brought her to Adam. You know, he brings us to God once we've come to Christ. It's just a beautiful, beautiful picture of what Christ has done for us.
Hey, let me tell you, this 1 Peter 3:18 right here, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. I mean, this is like the Magna Carta, the Declaration of Independence. The constitution of the Christian faith right here in one verse.
One verse. Alex, we're going to take questions. And that number, if you have a question, is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840.
We need to pray for Christian leaders in our increasingly hostile world. It is very, very tough for leaders in any area of secular leadership to truly be able to lead out as Christian leaders. I'd ask you to join me in praying that courage born of wisdom will be given to Christians in places of leadership, in government, in the courts, in law schools across the nation so that they will be able to stand for a godly basis for law. Scripture says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." My name is Dave Butts, president of Harvest Prayer Ministries for OneCry.com.
Join Frank Turek, Richard Land, Norman Geisler, Greg Kokel, and others for Southern Evangelical Seminary's National Conference on Christian Apologetics. It's October 13th and 14th in Charlotte, North Carolina. Enjoy informative talks, a live debate, and a dialogue with Ken Ham from Answers in Genesis. Plus, there's the premiere of the American Family Association documentary, The God Who Speaks. Early bird pricing ends August 1st. Visit ses.edu for details.
You would not stop talking about stealing just because you know people who are in your congregation who have stolen.
Janet Mefford.
That's where we get it all twisted in our minds, because we are treating certain sins as different from others. And in God's mind, sin is sin. You're not condemning people simply because you're talking about sin. It's not the sin that will go to hell, right? It's going to be the person who goes to hell apart from Christ. Join me for Janet Mefford Live, weekdays at noon Central on American Family Radio.
Your mission is to find Granny and get that sauce.
Affirmative.
1 million moms, in association with American Family Studios, introduces Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent.
I'm Ryan DeFrady's. I work alone.
Ryan is arrogant and reckless until the day he's paired with a very unlikely partner.
No way! I can do this alone, without anyone's help, much less my mom's.
Look, Ryan.
She's my mom!
Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent is the new action-adventure series featuring a young spy with a whole lot to learn.
Mama's coming, sweetie!
She's an agent! Get her, boys!
Each exciting, fun-filled episode teaches children important values, like honoring parents and respecting authority. And there's a brief wrap-up at the end that connects the story to a biblical illustration. Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent. Perfect for children ages 6 and over. Order yours today at ryansecretagent.com.
Thanks for listening to Exploring the Word. And be sure to tell others about AFR Talk.
The Word of God is spoken. We are changed forever. Power of sin is broken. We are free. We are running to salvation.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Bert and Alex with you, and we're taking those phone calls, and we appreciate you calling each day. It makes this program just a little bit different than a lot of other Bible study programs. It's dialogue between Alex and myself, but then also it's question and answer from you, and we appreciate that so much. So let's go to the phone lines and go to Arkansas and talk to Levi. Levi, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Good afternoon, man. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Okay, you can hear me well.
Yeah.
All right, I had a question on church attendance, man. Me and my wife have been married for 5 years now. We're a blended family, and I know it's my duty to be the high priest of the home, and we both love the Lord. So I made it for certainty at the beginning of this year that we were going to find a church that we both enjoyed the teaching and have our kids there, and to make a strong effort, because, you know, the scripture convicted me, love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Well, it takes strength to get up in the morning, and if you're saying, oh, I don't feel like going, then you're not giving him all the strength that you got. And so I was under that conviction, so I've been attending the church. I really like the teaching there. It's good expository preaching, Trinitarian, you know, the death, burial, resurrection of Christ and deity. But I've come to find out that as I continue longer, that I believe that they're in their Reformed theology, and it gets back to Calvinism, and it's bothering me so bad inside. I feel like Paul, like too much learning has made me mad, and I've just really been praying about it. I mean, other than that, you know, I've always known if it's not a salvific issue, we can have unity with our brothers and sisters in Christ, you know, Methodist, Baptist, such things, but something of that nature there, it almost is a salvific issue, because either if you're unconditionally elected, then you're unconditionally damned, and it's bothering me. So you think, what's your advice on that? Should I be looking again? It's so hard to change churches, you know, and when you get somewhere and you're comfortable and you meet, you're fellowshipping and you're attending some small groups. But
let me ask you this, brother. How out front are they? I mean, do they, the reform leanings, I mean, do they really wear it on their sleeve, or is it subtle?
We're going through the book of Romans now, and I'm afraid as we're getting deeper and deeper, it's subtle. I mean, there's a great work there. There's a great fellowship there. There's a lot of great people there that are going, you know, across the country. For a small congregation, there's a lot of missionaries that are there that are giving up their lives for the sake of the gospel now as they're retired and our kids are grown.
Sure.
You know, this is just from what I've met in the past 6 months. So I wouldn't say that they're just putting it all out there. You know, they don't. It's not on the door. We're Calvinists. But I'm just afraid as you go deeper, there's only one dead end to arrive at. And they're asking for church commitment, not necessarily from us, but from those that if you've been attending for a while, if you're interested in being a member and signing up, read a few of these books, and we're having some elders you can meet with and such. And my kids are kind of like, well, why don't we, you know, join? My daughter's getting older. But I just have fear that I don't want to lead them down the wrong road. You know, I really enjoy the expository preaching. I've checked a number of churches in my local area, and as far as the preaching goes, good sound word and the way it's delivered.
Amen.
They observe the Lord's Supper every week, which I really enjoy, and have a real place on sin every week. Mm-hmm. You know,
Levi, I hate to cut you off, but Alex, I want to tell you, I can put up, if it's, I am not, you know, those have it, you listen all the time, Alex and I, neither one are Calvinists. We believe the sovereignty of God and the accountability of man complement one another, not compete against one another. But I'd say this, Alex, I'd rather be in a church that's missional and where I'm being fed and have to, if it's not overt, like you said, I might disagree a little bit on that, but brother, if they're training and they're loving Jesus and they're missional and teaching his word, it's pretty hard to leave when it's like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I want to say to the caller, God bless you, and thank you for your theological precision there. And you definitely strike me as a man who loves the Lord and is very serious about shepherding your family in the ways of the truth. You know, I got to tell you, and Bert's right, I'm not a Calvinist, but I know we have Calvinist listeners. We love you because we're united in the fact that we believe Jesus shed his blood to wash away our sin. We don't have time to unpack all of the theological nuances here, but I guess if it sounds like, you know, there's good fellowship and the Spirit is there, missionaries are there, and it's not heresy, although if it's pressed far enough, I think it does flirt with heresy. But if you're being fed otherwise, you know, I don't know, Bert. I know when Angie and I lived in Charlotte for 5 years, we attended a Presbyterian church because it really was the best place to get good biblical teaching. Although it's kind of the situation, eat the chicken, spit out the bones. Yeah.
And what I would do, Levi, I would share with my children, said, listen, we know God's in control, but there's still accountability on our part as human beings. Share that with them. And you know, don't let arrogance or anything like that build up, you know. And I would just say I'd try it for a while. And in the book of Romans and in the book of Ephesians, you're going to get some of that. And it may seem like it's over more than other than when you're in the book of 1 Peter like we are, Alex. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you come to Ephesians and Romans, there's going to be, you, in my opinion, I'm going to use the words, you have to wrestle with that.
Yeah.
And I wrestled with it. And I cannot come out on the part of 5 points, but I do believe in the sovereignty of God, but also believe in accountability of man. And again, I'm using my words, and they're a play on words, but I believe they're right. Biblically, they complete each other, do not compete with each other.
Good one.
And I believe that. Alex, you got a small word before we go to the next caller, or are you all right?
Yeah, let's move on.
Okay, Levi, we'll be praying for you, and we want you to do that God wants. Let's go to West Virginia and talk to Brentley. Brentley, welcome.
Hey. I think I talked to you guys before. I've been saved 20 years ago, and I got saved, and I was a babe in Christ, and then I stopped going to church because I went to England, and And then I, for 20 years, I was apart from God. And no one ever says anything about it. Like, when you're apart from God, they don't ever talk about being saved and then being apart from God and then coming back to God. They don't say, am I damned?
Brentley, I want to tell you, if you're feeling God's tug at your heart, you are not. You need to turn to Him, though. Wherever you are, whatever condition you're in, if you're saved and backslidden, and I know, Alex, we don't hear that word very much anymore, mm-hmm. but it is in the Bible and it's real. If you're saved and backslidden, you confess your sin, get right with God, get faithful. If you're lost, and if you don't know, if I did not know if I'm saved or lost, I'd make the assumption that I'm lost and I'm coming to Christ. And Alex, that's my advice for Brentley. Add to it, brother.
Well, God bless you. And the fact that you're concerned for the state of your soul tells me the Holy Spirit is really working on you, which is good. You know, Christians can sin, and 1 John 8:9 is a great verse. 1 John 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. But 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I love what you said in the beginning of the question, because it's a wake-up call for all of us. You said, I was saved 20 years ago, but I got out of church. And think about this, a bonfire, and you've got a stack of wood and a good bonfire, and you can pull away one of those logs, and it'll burn on for a little while, but then alone by itself, it'll burn out. And that's how we are, aren't we, Bert? That's without right. The encouragement, the accountability, the prayers. See, when Christians are together and we're worshiping and we're collectively part of this local church, we got each other's back, as they say.
Amen.
And so, brother, if you're not sure that you're saved, well, call on Jesus and He will receive you. But if I suspect what it is, you were born again, you are saved, but the fact that you're unhappy and you know that it's wrong to be away from God and God's people, it's because you're a child of God. The Spirit's in you. And turn back to Christ. Say, I'm sorry. I'm coming back. And Lord, receive me, restore me, and find that place where you can consistently grow in your walk and your witness.
Brentley, you may even find this. I don't know if you YouTube it, but there's a song, I have returned to the God of my fathers. I've returned to the God of my childhood. It's a strong, strong song. And, sometimes songs do things for us, convicts us and draws us, and God uses those. That may be a good one for you to look up and see. We're praying for you. We need to pray for Levi. They'd be in the right church. Pray for Brentley that he'd get in church and make things right with God. We got a lot on a prayer list. Let's go to Michigan and talk to Cal. Cal, welcome.
Yes. Hello.
Yes.
Say, last time yesterday, you talked about Israel at the beginning, and I believe it was Bert said that the dispersion of Israel, the 12 tribes, he was talking about the Jews, but I think they really are talking about the house of Israel that went to Assyria, and most of Judah also was sent to Assyria in 2 Kings 18 and 19, and this is where they first reappear at the time of Christ, actually slightly before the time of Christ, and we get our first glimpse of Israel returning from their Assyrian captivity and rejoining the then-known world in John 7:35, where the Pharisees heard the crowd muttering about him, and the chief priests and Pharisees sent officers to arrest him. Jesus said, I shall be with you a little longer, then I go to him who sent me. You will seek me and you will not find me. Where I come, you cannot go. And Jews said one to another, where does this man intend to go that we shall not find him? Does he intend to go to the dispersion among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? Even the Pharisees knew where Israel was, that they were returning from their Syrian captivity at this time. And then James starts out and he says, James, the servant of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. And Peter points out two more things, that they are both the very house of Israel, that Hosea was talking about, and that they were still in their time period of exile.
Cal, okay, that's great. The verses you're talking about is chapter 1, verse 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion, and it gives those places. Alex, dispersion, is it from Jerusalem the first time, or is it when Jerusalem, they came to, against Jerusalem, and all the saints in Jerusalem went to all over the Roman Empire, did they not?
They did. You know, there were five provinces, and they're, you know, all in what is now Turkey. Church history, I'm looking at a really good church history book right now. And Peter had ministered in these provinces and Cappadocia. And so the word there in the original language is the word foreigners. And so these apostles, these strangers, these foreigners scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. There were Jews, probably some Gentiles too. But, you know, it's interesting. Let me say this. The history of the Jewish people, the captivities, the enslavements, the bondages, the deliverances, the past is never past in Judaism. Do you know? And let me say this. There was a great historian, Paul Johnson. He wrote a book called The History of the Jews. And Paul Johnson said this, and I think it's a good word for our day. And one of the things, I don't want to get political all of a sudden here, but we need to maintain a great relationship with the nation of Israel. Paul Johnson, the historian, he said, the history of the Jewish people is proof that there is always hope for humanity. Mm-hmm. And there's enslavements, there's a lot, but if ever there was a resilient, never quit spirit in a people group, it's within the Jewish people. Now, we want them to know their Messiah because that's the greatest foundation of all for hope. And that Peter's message was to these foreigners that maybe they hadn't themselves been captive, but they knew the history of their ancestors who had been.
Well, he refers to it again in chapter 2, verse 11, Cal. Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims. Again, there was this atmosphere that Peter was talking to. I think it was not just Jews, but when you read others, you've been in darkness, you've been delivered. He's writing to the church that is going through persecution, through false teachers, and it's made up of both. But here, the pilgrims, the sojourners, he's talking to those that have been displaced. And he may be thinking about something else, and this is more spiritual, Cal, than you're talking about. It's talking about this world is not our home. We're just passing through. So, Alex, Peter especially, I think, makes that plain over and over again that we are our citizenship is in heaven, you know,
mm-hmm.
because it talks about a royal a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And yep. And so, Cal, appreciate that, brother. Yes, I think he's reminding us of many things, of what has passed, like you said,
right.
Alex, but
yep.
also what is present, but also what is in the future. I think it all incorporates in Peter's letter.
I agree. Do we have time for one more
call?
We
do not, brother. We had some good questions today, and maybe we took too long to answer them, but we'll try to get to them tomorrow, I promise.
Well, 1st and 2nd Peter, the gospel on every page. And folks, we appreciate you listening. Again, for those wristbands commemorating the 40th anniversary of AFA, go to afa.net/trustingod.
And we trust God. Just
oh, I'm
trust
sorry,
God.
Trust God.
Yeah, trust God. Yeah. It's been good to be with you, Alex. 2nd Peter tomorrow. We ask people
yes.
to do their homework, read ahead, and come ready to study God's Word. Thank you again for listening to Exploring the Word here on the American Family Radio. We appreciate it so much. We want you to tell someone about this network and about this program. But more than anything, we want you to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.